We are not the same. The playing ground is all of us. We came from another kingdom. We are polythiomas. Do you understand? Meaning extensions of another kingdom. You see, Christians trying to live life, trying to do their business, do their job, run their career, and make progress by human skill. You are wasting time. Your mind must be upon the everlasting covenant. We are that book of missional truth. Wherever God has sent you, listen, this is the message that will give meaning to your Christian experience. Without this, there is no purpose. And when an experience does not have a purpose, there is confusion and abuse. You cannot plan to reign without this revelation. It's not possible, sir. It's not possible, sir. The level of your dominion is a reflection of your level of skill in the doctrine of righteousness.
You know, a great general of old, T.L. Osborne says, he says, I don't think much of a man who boasts more of his love for God than God's love for him. He said, but I hold in high esteem, and I'm paraphrasing now, a man who is more excited and who boasts more about God's love for him than his love for God. Hallelujah. The Bible says we love him because he first loved us. Hallelujah. And we are forever grateful for his love. And his love is changing us. Amen. Hallelujah. His love is changing us. Hallelujah. We are changed. You know the song where they say, forever I've been changed by your love. In the presence of your majesty. Glory to God. Amen. Are you ready for God's word? Hallelujah. Where's your Bible? Just keep standing with your Bible. Hallelujah. You know, today yesterday I still watched that precious Dr. Murdoch's song. I love sitting at his feet. Give me a covenant key. Is that S? I love sitting at your feet. I love hearing what you say. I love knowing your desire. I'm so pleasured to obey. Your favor is like sunrise, driving all my nights away. I love sitting at your feet every single day. I love sitting at your feet every single day. How many of you ever heard that song? And then you tell you to rub your Bible and kiss it. To rub it on your cheek. You know, I got emotional doing it yesterday. Amen. Do you love the word of God? Hallelujah. What was the difference between Moses and the children of Israel? To the children of Israel, it was a commandment to be kept. But to Moses, it was his life. It was his life. It was his life. I mean, what killed others gave him life. To the children of Israel, it was a means to see God's hand. But to Moses, to Moses, it was his life. It was the ways of God. Hallelujah. Say, I love the word of God. Can you say it with faith in your heart? Say, this is my Bible. I believe that it contains the word of God. I love the word of God. And every day I look forward to receiving light, instructions, grace, polishing from this book. And this morning, my heart is open. My mind is alert to receive fresh word, fresh insight, fresh wisdom from this book. And my life will not be the same. In the name of Jesus. Come on, declare like you have some voice, some faith. My life will not be the same. In the name of Jesus. My heart is open to understand. In the name of Jesus. Amen. You can give the Lord a shout of praise on the way to your seat. Hallelujah. Amen. You may be seated. Let's just run very, very quickly. You can put Numbers 23. Very fast up. Numbers 23. That was what we started from. The shout of a king. Amen. Hallelujah. the shout of a king and the victory of saints. We talked about that for two Sundays, and I hope we wrap up today. Amen. Hallelujah. He had not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither has he seen perverseness in Israel. The Lord his God is with him, and the shout of a king is among them. Amen. We love you, online community, Mixlr, YouTube, and Facebook. We are so grateful that you're following us online. Can we celebrate them, those following online? Thank you. Thank you for taking our time to be part of our live streaming. Hallelujah. He has not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither has he found perverseness in Israel. The Lord his God is in his midst. The Lord their God is with them, and the shout of the king is among them. Hallelujah. All right, we took that first part and established righteousness, or the sacrifice of Jesus, and the righteousness he gives us as the foundation for our reigning in life. Amen. The Bible says, if by one man's offense death reigned, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 5, verse 17. And we also journey to Hebrews chapter 5, I believe, verse 13, where Paul, or the writer of Hebrews, it depends on who you believe wrote Hebrews, okay, was writing to them that now you ought to be teachers, but you still need one to teach you again the very principles of the faith. And he says, for anyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. And we dissected that the doctrine of righteousness is supposed to impact a skill for daily living. Glory to God. I'm going to say there's such a thing as being skillful in the word of righteousness. He didn't say the man is ignorant in the word of righteousness. This is unskillful in the word of righteousness. Hallelujah. Now, we said a lot of things. If you're not around, you could get the materials at library.theambassador.org. I think the media guys have uploaded them. Was very important. I kept emphasizing that no man goes anywhere without the revelation of the righteousness of God. Even Paul says, to be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but the righteousness which is of faith in Christ Jesus. And he calls it the righteousness of God. In Romans 4, the Bible says, what is it that Abraham, our father, has found? He says, is it by his works he was justified? He says, not before God. Not before God. But he believed God, and it was credited to him for righteousness. Hallelujah. So he says, Abraham got the righteousness of faith. Amen. That means what gave him the whole world as an inheritance was the righteousness of faith. Very important. And he says, David also describes the blessedness of the man unto whom God will not impute sin. And says that's the picture of the new creation. So there was something that David saw. There was something that Abraham found. Glory to God. And these two men stand out in the Old Testament as a description of what Jesus came to do. No wonder in Matthew chapter 1 verse 1, the Bible refers to Jesus as the son of Abraham. Come on now. And the son of David. It's no coincidence. When Paul was teaching about righteousness in Romans 4, he ascribed the revelations to both of them. Hallelujah. Are we together? So we say it's this revelation of righteousness, or this skill in the doctrine of righteousness, brings you into enjoying the fatherhood of God and prepares you for kingly dominion on the earth. Hallelujah. And it says, everyone you see reigning in life, even preachers, it may not be their emphasis, but it's an understanding that they have. Nobody does any big thing with God without the understanding of the righteousness of faith. Human righteousness, the Bible calls it, is like a future rag. When you put everything together, a rag is already useless. The future rag is double negative. Amen. Glory to God. So we stand before him with his righteousness. We stand before him, and he looks upon us through the eyes of the sacrifice of Jesus. Glory to God. So the right living is a response to what he has done, not an attempt to gain his approval. Are we together? But you see, when you really have seen his love, you will respond in honor. Honor, really, honoring God is a product of the revelation of love. And it's his love that brings us righteousness. Are we together? So the knowledge, if the knowledge, quote and unquote, makes a believer comfortable in sin, that means the believer did not hear what was saying. Do you understand? Because when it really gets into your heart, you are wowed by his love. And the response of the revelation of love is honor. Hallelujah. So the person wants to honor God with his life, with his words, with his actions, with his manner of life amongst men. Are we together? But this is a foundation. And every day you keep learning about this righteousness. The Bible says the righteousness of God is revealed right from faith to faith. Hallelujah. That means, you see, the more that light shines on the righteousness of God, the more faith is impacted in your soul. Amen. Are we together? Come on. Are you guys here? Are you guys here? You know, I love you to respond. Amen. Are you still here? All right. So from there, we journey to the second layer of our discussion, the shout of a king. And then we said we wanted to discuss about the three postures a believer must have. The Bible says he has made us kings and priests unto our God forever and ever. So we said if we are kings, there's a posture we must take to walk in kingly dominion on the earth. To walk experientially in kingly dominion on the earth. And we said that that also refers to the shout of the king. Or the shout of a king. So the first thing we said was what? The persuasions of a king. Number two. Okay. Let's start again. Number one. What did we say was the first one? I can't hear you, glory zone. The persuasions of a king. So if you were not around, you can write it now. The persuasions of a king. Number two. The proclamations of a king. Number three. The patterns of a king. I would say that is the life, the manner of life of a king. So the persuasions of a king. No believer steps into kingly dominion without certain persuasions, without certain convictions. Amen. Without a state of the internal environment, without a state of mind, without a frame of mind, without a conviction of who he is, who Christ is in him, and who he is in Christ, who God is to him. There must be certain truths that have become convictions, that have become opinions you hold with absolute certainty. They have become philosophies, so to say, personal philosophies, personal persuasions, personal convictions. Those are the things you have as an anchor for your soul. Glory to God. And with whether you like it or not, the life, what you live out on the outside is a product of your persuasions. So it's possible, it is possible for a believer to have a pseudo confession and a contrary experience. And that was what I was against. That means a Christian can say, I'm the seed of Abraham. I'll never be poor and be broke till Jesus comes. If what he's saying is a pseudo confession, but it's not backed up by an inward conviction or persuasion. Are we together? This is why somebody can be in a car about to collide with another vehicle and say, Jesus. And he collides and he dies. Does it nullify the power in the name of Jesus? No. But by design, our experiences are supposed to be product of our persuasions, product of our convictions, product of the opinions that we hold with absolute certainty. I'm going to say it can be developed. The Bible says the limited Holy One of Israel, the tempted him and limited the Holy One of Israel. How could men limit the Almighty God? How could men limit El Shaddai? Persuasions. He got them out of Egypt. I mean, that nation saw the greatest miracle any nation has ever seen. At least in those days. They saw the power of God demonstrated. So there was no excuse. But guess what? When they got out of Egypt and got into the wilderness, my goodness, slavery was still inside. In fact, they told Moses, take us back to Egypt. We miss the garlics, the onions, and the cucumbers. Can you imagine? They couldn't see the picture of the promised land that God spoke to them about. Why? Those words had not become inner persuasions. Only two guys were convinced, Joshua and Caleb. And when you hear them talk, you know it wasn't a pseudo confession. He was coming out of a place of persuasion and convictions about the prosperity that you talk about. What is a conviction? About supernatural provision, what is a conviction? About supernatural protection, what is a conviction? About God being with you as a mighty, terrible one, what is a conviction? About the word of promise concerning your future, concerning your destiny, what God has said, has it become an inner persuasion? About God's word concerning you. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. All things are passed away. Has it become a persuasion? That's where life is lived from. Has those words of promise become the anchor for your soul? Once it becomes the anchor for your soul, you live it out. You cannot build on it. This is what he wants. This is how not to have a pseudo confession and a contrary experience. The persuasions of a king. You know that circumstances doesn't change status. You may be squatting, but there's something going on your mind. You see yourself as that millionaire in dollars, that kingdom financial apostle. You are squatting. You are looking for skirt and blouse to wear. You are doing, is it bend down select? They used to call it now. But in your mind, on your inside, you're a first class man. You're a first class woman. Glory to God. Persuasions. Persuasions. The Bible talking about Abraham, he says, being fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able to perform. What God had promised, he was able to perform. Have you allowed your past cast a lead on your mind? Or are you determined to bust those leads and move into what God has prepared for you? Oh, I know you came from a background. I know you made mistakes in the past. I know your parents conditioned your mind in a certain way. I know things happen. The decision you make now is the most important thing. That I will sit in God's word until it gives me my predominant way of thinking. I will sit with God's word. I will keep looking at it. I will keep hearing. I will expose my mind, my eyes, my ears to pictures in God's word. Until I have a different persuasion, conviction. A conviction that can put me and bring me into the experience of what God has promised. It does not happen overnight. You have to be committed. You have to be committed. Sometimes you think you have even moved until things happen. You say, this thing is still here. Oh, come on, it's over the year. This thing is still here. Oh, you thought you have prosperity mindset. Until you have to raise just 3 million. And then you just don't know it's not possible. Where is, I mean, you can't see it. I am wondering, what's going on? You thought you had gone past this low self-esteem. You've gone past this low self-image, this low self-portrait. Until something happened. And you know, look, this is low self-esteem. You will go back into the world. You will put it on your lips. You will submit your ears to it. Are you listening? You will stretch in God's word and pray it in. You know, there's a way you can pray on God's word until it turns from solid to gas. And then you inhale it. Glory to God. You pray scriptures until they become inhalable. That is the form that transforms a man's life. You pray and pray and pray until it becomes inhalable. Is no more something that is written in the black book. No. It's something that has mixed with your spirit. Until you become inseparable. No devil can convince you otherwise. Moraga balata. Glory to God forevermore. No devil can. Listen, Bishop Oedipo had been preaching prosperity before the 1982 that he used to talk about. Amen. He said he's been talking prosperity. In fact, those books he took for 3 days retreat, he had read them before. But he saw that, look, this thing has not entered. He carried God's will is prosperity. The law of prosperity and his Bible. And locked himself for 3 days. Can you imagine? He had read them before. That's what I'm telling you. Persuasions are different. He had read them before. But poverty was still next door neighbor. And God has told him about prosperity. Delivering the oppressed. Bringing liberation to the captive. He has seen the picture of prosperity here and there, but he knew his heart had not been assured of this thing. He took the two books and his Bible, locked himself for three days, and then light shone from heaven. He says, I turn like a raccoon and scream, I can never be poor. That wasn't the first time he was reading the books. So what changed? Persuasions. I'm giving it to you the way it is. You know, most times we are focused on doing and on having. The focus should be being. And this is where what I'm talking about for us. On being. On being. On being. You deliberately do something to your mind. You deliberately do something to your internal environment. You will hang around the people. You will listen to the messages again and again and again. Until the lead is off. Until the lead is off. Are we together? Persuasions. Hebrews says, this hope we have as an anchor of the soul. When he was talking about the immutability of God's counsel, he calls it the hope. Talking about the word of God that cannot be broken. His word, his promise, his counsel that cannot be broken. He says, verily men swear by the greater right. He says, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. He says, therefore, God willing more abundantly to show to the heirs of the promise the immutability of his counsel, confirm the bound oath. He says, for by two things in which it is impossible for God to lie. He says, which hope we can have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. This is what I'm talking about. When God's mind concerning you and God's word becomes the anchor of your soul. You know what an anchor is? That solid metal thing that brings stability and consistency to the boat or to the ship, which you have as an anchor of the soul. Hallelujah. Both sure and steadfast. I refuse to have a pseudo confession and a contrary experience. I will stay in the word. I will stay in God. I will stay in his presence. I will expose my eyes, my ears, until the word of God prevails. Oh, until the counsel of God prevails. Until the opinion of God prevails. Until the word gains the ascendancy. Hallelujah. 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 Hooray. Praise God. The persuasions of a king. A dear man of God said, I stayed in the world until the cassette scattered. Until the recording scattered. You know what's calling the recording? As a young man, you were traveling. You went to the park. You went to the taxi, comfortable with AC. And then when they mentioned the price, your father carried your bag. You carried your father's bag. And you went to the bus, that long one, and dropped it. I said, no, we have to join this one. You preferred the other one, but you were moved here. Something was recording. Something was recording. You asked for a simple bicycle and you were told, you know, we cannot afford it. Does money grow on trees? I'm going to do a series. Maybe next month, money grows on trees. That's the title of the series. If money doesn't grow on trees, why do banks have branches? And that is to attack that low socioeconomic ideology in Africa. Money grows on trees. Glory to God. But you see, you heard that. You asked for a bicycle. You were told we can't afford it. You were told, keep quiet. Can't you know? In fact, for some, it was as bad as when your elder brother is in school, you wait for him to be like 3 years before you write jam. Some of us grew up in that kind of homes. And you think you can just say,
You can just hear one message on prosperity. God wants you to prosper. You will prosper. You will not be poor. And you say amen and go. No. You will scatter the cassette. You will sit down on the word until that recording is shattered. Are you with me? Praise God. Or you grew up in an environment of sickness and disease. Your father died of a strange sickness. Your mother died of a strange sickness. You can't just say, I live in health and walk away. You will sit down with the healing scriptures. Until every angel in heaven knows, every demon in hell understands that this one will be in divine health. Persuasions. Persuasions of a king. Persuasions of a king. And praise God. There's a term we use in those days, chronic meditation. Protracted interface. You turn your car to a Bible school. Your laptop. Listen, your phone is not just to make calls. Your phone is a tool for your personal development. I say that again. Your Android internet-enabled phone is a tool for your personal development. So use what I'm saying to measure what you've been doing with your Android or with your iPhone. How much of transformation has it brought to you? Or does it bring distraction instead? Amen. You have to measure it. Glory to God. All right, let's jump to number two. We went into number two in this first service. Number two, the proclamations of a king. Masikobarata. The proclamations of a king. Praise God. The proclamations of the king. Look up at me, someone. You see, all through the scriptures, every time the Spirit of God came upon a man, he took control of his mouth. Have you noticed it? Every time the Spirit of God came upon a man, from the Old Testament to the New Testament, there was a place the Holy Ghost was interested in. There was a place God was interested in, and that was man's mouth. That is to show you that the organ in your body that is most connected to your kingly dominion on the earth is your mouth. In Genesis chapter 2 verse 7, the Bible says, and God formed man out of the dust of the earth and breathed into his nostril the breath of life. What happens? Man became a living soul. The Jewish translation also says, man became a speaking spirit. Man became a speaking spirit. When God breathed upon man, man became a speaking spirit. That means when the Spirit of God came upon man in Genesis, he became a speaking spirit. He gave him the ability to talk. I'm going somewhere. Why did God change the name of Abraham? To change his confession. He changed the name of Jacob to Israel to change his confession. Because the name is a confession. Praise God. Every time the Spirit of God comes upon man, it does something to what comes out of the mouth. In Numbers, God told Moses, said, gather 70 elders of the Jews, and I will take this spirit that is upon you and put upon them that it might bear the burden of ministry with you. Watch this. When the Spirit came upon them, where did we see the evidence of the Spirit coming upon them? Their mouths. They began to prophesy. They began to prophesy. They began to prophesy. In Joel chapter 2 verse 28, the popular place we quote, he says, in the last day, saith the Lord, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. What is the first manifestation? Where was the Holy Ghost going to get a hold of? He said, your sons and your daughters shall do or talk to me. Prophesy your mouth. Meaning, I will change what comes out of their mouth. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. He gets a hold of your mouth. This is very important. But sadly, this is a part that most believers have not gotten mastery over. We still think words are just free. Words are nothing. On the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came, you know what happened? appearance as of cloven tongues, as of fire. That means what rested upon them was the shape of tongues. And what happened to them? They began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Amazing, isn't it? The Holy Spirit always taking the hold of man's tongue. Why is this so important? That is where your dominion is concluded. We're talking about the proclamations of a king. That is where your dominion is concluded. In the school of dominion, your tongue draws the conclusion. Is somebody here? Your tongue draws the conclusion. You must have mastery over the use of words. You must learn to subject and bring your tongue under the dominion of the word of God. God does nothing without speaking. He's amazing. You know, reading the Bible, I was always amazed. Why is it that when God wants to do something, he has to say it? Why must he say it? Behold, I will do a new thing. Baba God, just do it now. But no, he has to say it. I will do a new thing. Behold, I will come again. Behold, I will visit you. He sets the precedence. He will say it and then he will do it. That is very important. You know why? You know why that is important? God is royalty. We're getting home now. God is a king. God is not a political leader. God is not a religious head or something. I've told you, God is not a Christian. Salah. He's not a Christian. It's amazing. A lot of Christians think God is a Christian. I say, God is not on our side. No, 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 no. God is not a Christian. He's not on your side. You're on his side. Amen. He's not. God does not have a religion. God does. You have to lose your religion. Amen. Was it Kirk Franklin that released an album? Losing My Religion or something. You have to lose your religion. God doesn't have a religion. God is not a Christian. Newsflash. God is not a Christian. God is a monarch. He is a king, glory to God forevermore. He is the monarch of the universe. So when we talk about the kingly dominion of the believer on the earth, it's because of God. Amen. He is a monarch. The Bible is an album of a royal family. The Bible is an album of a royal family. With pictures of the king, his firstborn, his kids, amen, and an arch enemy called Satan. And we know the end of the story. So when you look at the album to the last picture in this particular album for this dispensation, you will see that the king and his kids have the final victory. Glory to God. So it's royalty. Listen, a king rules by decrees. And this is very important. When the Bible talks about taking charge of your life on the earth, taking charge of circumstances. Listen, my focus about this proclamation is what goes on in your mouth in the midst of pressure. That's actually my focus. Because this is where many Christians lose it. Every time pressure comes, every time you are in unforeseen circumstances or things happen beyond what you are planned for, Satan is putting pressure on your mouth. What you say really determines the outcome. What you say really concludes the outcome. It's a discipline that must come from what we're teaching, from the example we're teaching, is a discipline. Never submit your mouth to the circumstance. Never submit your tongue to what Satan is saying. No, don't do that. Always know that you're a king. And the Bible says, where the word of a king is, there is power. There is power. Satan must not have the last say. He mustn't have the final say. No giant must say the last word. If Satan talks, talk again. If he talks, talk again. Are you listening? Until his voice fades away.
Glory to God.
He said, you are going to die. He said, no, I will not die. It's your children that will die. If he speaks again, speak. You will weary him. Glory to God. Are you aware that David spoke more words than Goliath? He never allowed Goliath to have the last words. No. He kept talking. Listen, David cut off the head of Goliath with his mouth. He did with his words. I mean, read it again. 1 Samuel chapter 17. He kept talking. He says, I will take off your head. Kalabaka. Today, I will take off your head and give your carcass and the carcasses of the host of the Philistines to the best of the air. And the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. I mean, the Bible says there was no sword in David's hand. That means your mouth. What a lesson. That means you don't talk based on what you have in your hand. No. Oh, somebody got that. We're going to build an estate here. We will build the estate. You are speaking from vision. You are speaking what you heard, not what is in your bank account. There was no sword in David's hand, but it didn't stop him from saying, I will take off your head. Glory to God. Woo! That means a believer can speak to that sickness, even in the presence of the symptom, that you are gone and gone forever. You cannot live here. And he's still feeling the symptoms. You don't speak because of what you have in your hand. You say, in the name of Jesus, we are building this house to completion. And how much you have in your account? 5,000 naira. And you are declaring, the hand of Zerubbabel that laid the foundations of this house will complete it. Marco Patosa. Listen, I told you, spiritual things are tangible assets. You must treat them as such. You can use them to sojourn on the earth. The Bible says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. God did not consult a construction company. No, he used his mouth to recreate the whole world. Are you with me this morning? He didn't consult no construction company. Bible said, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed. The worlds were framed by the rhema of God. He says, so that the things, I love that part, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which will appear. That means the material that produced the visible was invisible. It was the words he spoke. He's a monarch and we are kings. If you are speaking because of what you have in your hand, you are no longer in faith. You are not the king. Kings make decrees and they expect that the decrees are established. He said, thou shalt decree a thing, Marcos Kabaya, and the thing shall be established unto you. That means if there's no decree, nothing to be established. Amen. Nothing to be established. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You can look at yourself in the mirror and say, this mouth can pay any bill. This mouth can change anything. You are talking to yourself. You say, this mouth can't. If the devil is telling you, what do you have in your account? Who knows you? Who do you know? You might look at this as happening. So, no, this mouth can change anything. In the name of Jesus. The Bible says, through faith, you understand that the walls were framed. I can frame my world. How? It is by the rhema of God. And the material for the fabrication is the word. The word on the lips of faith. So a king sits and talks and he has what he says. You are a king, brother. You are a king, sister. They rule by decrees. They believe that the words they have spoken will come to pass. Lagapaya. Kings don't spend money. Kings spend authority. True words. Rise to your feet. Oh, thank you, Lord. Kalabako celebra kaposa. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The proclamations of a king. Oh, Kaba. We'll leave the rest for second service. Makos keliga brunde sushepaya. Oh, Rabakosa. Just speak in tongues. We'll break bread. Lige borazashte pondes calabrandas capaya. Shepeco selige brundes sister. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Sake baratosa. Maracoseste poradile sustepala. Pontala brunda susta. Shako brektos kira zapade. Salike brunda susta. Brukta liga. Regoske brunda susta. Shalike brunda susta. Pora batala bonda. Can I have the communion ministers with speed? Oh, Father, we thank you. Can you just speak words? Can you just speak words? Can you just speak words? Lagebasa. Shorabande saparosistova. Lizo stepora dileska prandaska stepora. Luzi sobrande ligas. Shekorazi stepora dilekoska. Horabatila donsta. Inkapora zo stepora diles. La frektos kirzabandas. Shula zo praktola kizosta. Mantura diga susta. Liga brunda susta prota koske paia. Shakir zapatola dilesuta. Liga brunda suta. The Bible says Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. I want you to look unto Christ as your Passover. As we take the communion, he's a reason why the Lord has not beheld iniquity in us. He has not seen perverseness. Shego brendos lasuste prokta liga horabatusa shalige brunda susta horabetoska malikom brakos lakis sholis mambrast shefrost likrost matrast shekrost shilust lakist Lafredost, Sholigest, Lakonst, Laprondes, Shaligo Razish the fire. Oh, Rabakatola Balados. Hallelujah. 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 Listen, every covenant operates by a token. And that is very important. You know, there are people that want to sound hyper spiritual and hyper grace and tell you that communion is not important, baptism is not important, and all that. I told you, don't be pastored by social media. Amen. Glory to God. Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. Now, if you argue that was just for the apostles, Paul re-emphasized it. Praise God. And Paul's concern was that they should do it worthily. They should do it with revelation. They should do it the right way. Praise God. You know, the token of the Abrahamic covenant was circumcision. What is a token? A token is something small that unlocks the big. Glory to God. That means when we talk about the sacrifice of Jesus, when we talk about the power of the blood, how do you unlock it? The communion table. Done in faith. Done with insight and revelation. Have it together. This is part of the tokens of the new covenant in his blood. The Bible says, is it purge out the old living as ye are living, for Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. First Corinthians 5:7. For Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Every time you take this table, every time you partake of communion table of the blood and of the body, do it reverently, do it with an expectation of faith, do it expecting the power of his sacrifice to be released on your behalf. Listen, in life, every man stands by his sacrifice. The Bible says, you have come unto the blood of sprinkling, right? The blood that speaketh, the blood that speaketh better things than the blood of Abel. How do we amplify the voice of the blood? The communion table. The communion table. Glory to God. So do it reverently. Do it with expectation. You have a need in your life. Direct the power of the communion on it. And have an expectation of a manifestation. Have it together. Have it together. What is the requirement for partaking of the communion? To be born again. To be born again. To be born again. To have received Christ into your heart. So I want you to bow your heads this morning. Everyone, just bow your heads. You are here in this first service and you are saying, Pastor, pray for me. I don't have a relationship with the Lord. I go to church, or I was just invited to church, but I'm not born again. I don't have a relationship with the Lord. I want my sins forgiven. I want to be a member of this family of God. I want Jesus in my heart. Right where you are, I want you to lift your hand. Jesus died for you publicly. There's nothing to be ashamed of. You are saying, Pastor, pray for me to be restored. To be restored to the Father. Just raise your hand where you are. Just raise your hand where you are. In this first service, just raise your hand where you are. And somebody will attend to you. Thank you, my brother. Just raise your hand right where you are. Jesus died for you publicly. He hung on that tree at Golgotha. The Bible says he was offered for our offenses. He was raised for our justification. Just raise your hand where you are. Just raise your hand where you are. Maracosa, thank you, my brothers. Thank you, my sisters. Just raise your hand. I don't know if there are people in the overflow one hall. I need someone to attend to them. Orakebasushta. Malakoskebaya. Montekebrusta. Can we join them to pray this prayer? I can see some hands up. Can we join them to pray this prayer? Now, those of you who have your hands raised, I want to say congratulations, and I want to explain clearly how to be saved, how to be restored. You have to believe something in your heart and confess something with your mouth. Amen. Believe in your heart and confess. That means you have to say it out. You can't say it in your heart. Amen. Believe that the sacrifice of Jesus is enough for you. But he died on the tree. He was raised after 3 days for your justification. Can we pray with them together? So as the rest of the church prays with you, make sure you are saying something. Say, Heavenly Father, I believe that you love me. I believe that through the sacrifice of Jesus, my sins are forgiven. Today, I receive righteousness. I receive forgiveness in my heart, in my life. I declare boldly that same Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. In the name of Jesus, I am saved. Thank you, Father, for accepting me, for restoring me, for giving me eternal life and righteousness. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have just prayed that prayer, as simple as it sounds, things have flipped in the spirit. Glory to God. I thought somebody was going to rejoice. Hallelujah. I will say congratulations. I'm sure there are people standing with you after the communion that will take you somewhere. They know where you are. They'll take you somewhere to talk with you, get you filled with the Holy Spirit. And then we'll get to see you. I'm going to get to see you. Hallelujah. Praise God. This is our month of winning. Amen. Amen. Proverbs 11:30 says, he that winneth souls is wise. That is the second part. Glory to God. And the Lord spoke to my heart this morning. You know, while I lay down, I was meditating. Okay. I was up at night, so I just wanted to lay down and meditate. And the Lord spoke to me that in the month of August, we shall experience explosions of His goodness. Oh, I don't know who heard that. I said you will experience explosions of His goodness until you have become, listen, a living memorial of His marvelous kindness. In the name of Jesus. I'm going to declare for me in the month of August, I enjoy explosions of God's goodness until I become a living memorial of His kindness. Woo! In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, we receive the communion. We receive the body and the blood. It's blessed to be served in Jesus' name. Amen. You can go ahead and sing. Of you online, you can bless. I bless your communion elements. You can go ahead and take.
I see the Lamb slain. I see the Lamb slain. Feet on Jerusalem. I put my faith in Thee. I see the Lamb slain.
Before you has become like molehill. The Bible says, not by power, not by might, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Who are that mountain before Zerubbabel? I speak in the name of Jesus. Everything that constitutes a mountain before you, Ligaru Zebrandas Eshu Baratila Koskaba, Lika Patos Eliatosa, whatever it is, in whatever sphere, in whatever area, I speak in the name of Jesus. Shapalo tepalias, shapatekos, rato palatosa. Hear ye the word of the Lord. Become plain in the name of Jesus. And I decree, I declare, as it has been spoken, that in the month of August you will experience the marvelous kindness of God. You will experience explosions of His goodness. Until you become a living memorial of His kindness. In the name of Jesus, as the mountain surrounds Jerusalem, so the Lord has encamped around you. In the name of Jesus, I speak to everyone hearing me on ground online, that the Lord has become a wall of fire round about you. You are impenetrable. In the name of Jesus, no weapon formed against you will prosper. And I speak to your family. Satan gave a testimony about Job. He says, have you not made an edge round about him, round about his household? I speak in the name of Jesus. Everyone connected to you biologically, everyone connected to you by marriage,
I speak in the name of Jesus, because of the covenant of life that we have, that you partake, they are covered in the name of Jesus. We banish the activity of destruction from your house. Thank you, blessed Father. In Jesus' mighty name. Come on, give the Lord a shout of praise. Hallelujah. 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 Amen.
Glory. Amen. Can we celebrate that? We believe the word of God has begun a good work in you, making you a living, working wonder on the earth. For additional messages and information, log on to www.theembassyofheaven.org. God bless you.